What does it take to ask God to heal us? God wants us to ask for healing. God wants us to come to Him and lay our hurts and our pains at the foot of His cross. He took our hurts and our pains to the cross, and He wants us to come to Him for real healing.
This is season 9 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I want to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. And God's Word is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now.
And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 46 through 52. It's found on page 47 of the Pew Bible, if you're following along in that. So we're continuing our journey through Mark. This week we're going to look at the final miracle of Jesus before the cross. The final miracle that He performs, it's recorded in the book of Mark. Other Gospels record another miracle that Jesus performed before the cross, which was the healing of the servant after Peter cut off his ear. But this is the final miracle recorded in the book of Mark, and it's the healing of a man named Bartimaeus, who was blind. And how often do we also come to Christ blind and need to be healed? Let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning, beginning at verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you this morning, blind and helpless and crying out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Grant us wisdom that we may know you more, and in knowing come to love you more. Make us complete in you, and open our eyes to your holy word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it take to ask God to heal us? One of the things that I learned when I was early in recovery, in a lot of 12-step programs, the emphasis is always upon praying for someone else and never for ourselves, which is fine in a program that claims itself to be spiritual but not religious. But we followers of Christ listen to the words of Jesus, and Jesus tells us, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." Ask. God wants us to ask for healing. God wants us to come to Him and lay our hurts and our pains at the foot of His cross. He took our hurts and our pains to the cross, and He wants us to come to Him for real healing. Not just, you know, "Lord, I've got a little bit of a head cold," or, you know, "Lord, this paper cut's really getting on my nerves this morning. I squeezed a little lemon into my tea this morning, and boy, that really smarts." You know? But I mean, really deep healing. "God, you know how I struggle. I struggle daily with sin. I want to turn away from temptation, but somehow I just keep giving in. Help me be stronger. Help me be more like you. Help me be more like Jesus. Real, deep healing. This man that we meet today, his name is Bartimaeus, which very simply in Hebrew means son of Timaeus. And because the Bible was written in Greek, Mark had to explain that to a Greek audience. Bar, meaning son, and Timaeus, Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar. He's helpless. He's relying on the charity of others. Now, our society has become so jaded against people who are in real need that oftentimes when people come to us asking for help, our response is, are they sincere? Do they really need my help? Can somebody else help? Do they really need help, or are they just looking for a handout? Are they looking for a handout, or are they just scamming me? I mean, we're a very cynical society nowadays when it comes to giving, especially to people on the street. In Jesus' time, there were people all the time who sat on the roadsides and they would beg, not because they were trying to get over, but because they were in real need. And Bartimaeus is one of those. He is blind. He can't earn a living. He has no way. You know, there was no Americans with Disabilities Act at that time. There was no way that anybody could make concessions to help him work. He had no way of supporting himself. He was blind. He was helpless. He was at the mercy of others. And the Levitical law tells the Jews and us as well that we are to take care of such people. We are blessed with an abundance. And God expects us in our abundance to help those who don't have. And so, Bartimaeus sits on the roadside. He sits on a main roadside, as a matter of fact. It's a large crowd, it says. They were leaving Jericho. Now, some of the people were following Jesus, but they were on their way up to Jerusalem. They were probably singing psalms, the songs of ascent, as it were, because Jerusalem sits on a high hill, and so as the pilgrims would ascend to their feasts, they would sing songs to strengthen themselves and to carry themselves up the hill. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whom shall I receive my help? My help comes from the Lord. These are the songs that they would sing as they raised up themselves to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus put himself on a busy street. He would have heard the songs of the pilgrims as they had gone by. But there was something else that he probably heard. As these people were going up to Jerusalem, I'm sure that they were also talking about this itinerant pastor, this rabbi who was from Galilee, and he was performing all these miracles. Can you imagine? Some even said that maybe he is the Messiah. Maybe he is the one who is coming. And Bartimaeus, being blind, he would have heard all these stories as the people walked by. As he held out his hand, they would be talking and saying, did you hear what he did? He took two loaves of bread and five fish, and he fed 5,000 people. Can you believe it? Did you hear what he did? There was a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and he healed her. Did you hear what he did? He raised a girl from the dead. She had died. He raised her to life. Did you hear what he did? And Bartimaeus would have heard all of this. He heard it, and he held on to it. And now it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth who was going by, he began to shout and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What a prayer. And there are some days, I'll be honest with you, when that is my only prayer. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. What a wonderful prayer it is. We acknowledge the divinity of Christ. We acknowledge that He is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, who was sent to the world to heal the whole world of sin and death. And we say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Just like Bartimaeus. And there were people in the crowd who told him to be quiet. Shh, don't bother the teacher. Telling this blind beggar, don't bother the man. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's got some very important things to do. Just shh, be quiet. I hope that none of us ever tell people to be quiet about their faith. You know, when I first came to Christ, I wanted to proclaim it from the mountaintop. And there was a man in the church there who came to me and he said, you want to tone it down a little bit because your exuberance puts people off. What he really meant was my exuberance was putting him off. And that's fine. I ratcheted it up a notch, you know. I don't care. Because you know what? I'm not praising him. I'm praising God for all that God has done for me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's what he did. He couldn't be silenced. He said it louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What did Jesus do? Did Jesus say to his followers, look, go shut that guy up, please. I don't have time. You know what? Give him one of my cards. Have him email me later. You know? Jesus stood still. Verse 49 says, Jesus stood still and said, call him here. He stopped what he was doing. And in our busyness, let us never be so busy that we can't just stop what we're doing and address somebody's pain. In Jesus' name, Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart. Get up, he is calling you. I wonder if it's the same people who were just telling him to shut up. We're now telling him, hey, come on. He said, come. So he threw off his cloak. It says he sprang up and he came to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we need to throw off the things of the world that are holding us down. So this man, he's calling out to Jesus in his faith. He's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he heard that Jesus wanted him to come, he throws off his cloak and he comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks him this question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, if you remember from last week, that is the same question that he asked James and John. When James and John came to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He said, what is it you want me to do for you? And that is the question that Jesus asks each and every one of us on a daily basis, all the time. What do you want me to do for you? What a powerful question coming from the most powerful God. What do you want me to do for you? You know, the blind man says to him, my teacher, let me see again. Now, his response, there's a couple of things I want you to see here. Number one, he says, let me see again. That means that he once had his sight and he lost it. Oftentimes, we also, especially those of us sitting here in this room, have sight. We've been given sight, and we, over time, lose it in the darkness of the world. We become blind. We once had sight, and now we've become blind. We want to see again. He wants his sight restored. He wants his sight restored. The second thing I want you to hear is that he doesn't ask for a handout. He doesn't ask for alms. He's been begging for alms on the side of the road in Jericho for a long time. It's a place where he comes. It's his normal place that he comes and sits. Practically has a plaque, this space reserved for Bartimaeus, you know? And he sits there day after day and begs for alms. But from Jesus, what does he say? I want to see again. He doesn't want a handout. He doesn't want just a few coins that might sustain him for a couple days. But he wants the ability to sustain himself. He wants his sight restored so he can once again be whole and productive in society. He wants to be restored. He wants to work again. He wants to be able to sustain himself. And so his prayer to Jesus is, let me see again. Jesus, without touching him, says to him, go, your faith has made you well. Not your works, not the things that you have said, not your prayers, not how much you've been down on your knees asking, but your faith. You believed. You believed so much that you couldn't be silenced. You believed so much that the people who were telling you to be quiet about your faith were only making you shout louder. Your faith, he says, has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight. Immediately, he regained his sight. And it says, he followed him on the way. He left his place, the place where he's been sitting every day, begging. Now that he can see, what does he do? He leaves that place. I have no more use for that place. I'm going to follow Jesus. He leaves the comfort of the place where he sat and begged, and he goes into the unknown, following Jesus. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what we're going to do when we get there. But all I know is this. I was blind, and now I can see, and I'm following the one who healed me. That's what he says. Last Sunday, I had a scare. And I'm not going to candy coat it. I was scared. I got home from this service, and my wife tells me that my son was sick. Now, he woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing I was thinking was, that's not normal. Normally, he wakes up around 7:30. But he woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he was screaming. And I tried to pick him up and he was writhing in pain and agony. I didn't know what to do. And so when I got home from the service here, before I left for the service at Hudson, he was sitting on the couch. I've never seen him like this. I mean, he was literally laying on the couch. Have you ever seen a 2-year-old just lay there? A two-year-old never stops, like the Energizer Bunny, just keeps on going and going and going and going. But this kid, he's just laying there on the couch. And his face was just so tired. And I said to my wife, I said, is he okay? I don't know, she says. I've never seen him like that. Well, I went and I preached the service, the next service, and I came home again. And we tried to feed him. He wouldn't eat. And then my wife says to me, he's not turning his head. He can't turn his head. Try to, you know, do one of these things, you know. And he would just turn his whole body to look. He couldn't turn his head. And my wife says, that's a sign of meningitis. I said, what do you do? She calls the doctor. The doctor, and she explained all the symptoms, and the doctor said, I want you to go to the emergency room now. I will call them and let them know that you are coming. I mean, that's how important this was. This kid was not well. I picked him up. He didn't like to be touched. I mean, it was like his body was on fire. He had a high fever, really high fever. And carried him, put him in the car. And his body's rigid. And he looks at me and he's got, like, what is going on with me? Written on his face. I don't know what to tell him. I put him in the car seat. I get in the car. My wife's driving. And I did the only thing that I knew to do. I went on Facebook and I put out a prayer request. I said, because I've got a lot of friends who are not believers, so I always have to qualify with, if you believe in prayer, pray for my son. Pray right now. Right this second. He's very sick. I didn't know what was going on with him. Honestly, in the back of my head, I'm not even kidding. I didn't think we were going to come home with him. He was that sick. I've never seen any child that sick. My first two kids were never that sick. And that high a fever, we went to Voorhees because they have a pediatric emergency room. And when we got there, I checked my phone and there were 20 people responded who said they were praying for him. 20 people. Take him out of the car, go in, we check in, I laid him on Aaron, and he starts doing this. And we're like, he's like, no, let me go. So we put him on the ground and he runs off. And he's just, hey, what's this new place? Where are we? This place is pretty cool. Oh, look at this thing over here. Wow, look at this. This is cool. I'm like, who is this kid? It's a totally different kid. I mean, he was like nothing ever happened. And we took him, and the triage nurse, they took the temperature and did the blood oxygen and all that stuff, and his temperature was perfect. And the doctor, we took him back, doctor checked him out. There's nothing wrong with this kid. He's turning his head, you know. And he's been fine ever since. Now, how do you explain that? You could say, well, he must not have really been that sick. Maybe he just had a little bug or something like that. And the drive to the hospital was, no, I'm telling you, man, this kid was sick, really sick. And in the half hour it took us from the parsonage to the hospital, he was healed. Healed. Doctors didn't do it. There was no medicine involved. It was the prayer. It was all those people praying for my son. And God responded to their faith. God responded to my faith, because I was praying for him nonstop the whole way there. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Your faith has healed you. How many of us then are in need of real healing from God? You know, I imagine if we search our hearts, we'll find that the answer is all of us. We all need real healing. We all need our eyes opened and our hearts cleansed by God. But real healing is possible. And all we need to do is to ask God. He will answer us. Do you believe it? Do you have the faith of Bartimaeus, who knew deep in his heart, not that Jesus could heal him? He had heard the stories and he knew that he could be healed. No, what set Bartimaeus apart from the others was that he had the faith that Jesus would heal him. And he was not afraid to take his affliction and lay it before the feet of Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah who would come to save and to heal the world. So let us then have faith like his. Let each and every one of us in our affliction cry out as Bartimaeus did, oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. Let this be the cry of our hearts each day. And God, who is ever faithful, will also bring real healing upon us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. Hear the cries of our hearts. Sanctify us in your Holy Spirit. Create in us a clean heart and bring real healing upon us. We lay our hurts and our afflictions at your feet. Let us see again. And let our response to your healing touch be to follow you wherever you lead us, praising you along the open road. We place ourselves in your hand, Lord. Bring real healing into our hearts and lives, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. My hope and prayer for you is that today's teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a faith community of your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m., and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring congregations in the heart of New Jersey's farmland, and we also have Bible study during the week. Of course, if you don't live in the area, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community, so I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers where you are. Now, if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you please let us know? Send us an email, drop us a comment, subscribe, and share this message with someone who needs to hear it. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you would join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until then, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.